Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Yes.
No. Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. I had quite the terrible, terrible day yesterday. I left here at 6:55 p.m. and I didn't get to my house, which is essentially 12 kilometers away from this place. I didn't get to my house until 10 p.m. And the reason was the ridiculous traffic on Lekki Epe Express yesterday. And I sat in that traffic just thinking about the uselessness of that situation, the lack of necessity of it all, the fact that all it would have taken for me to not find myself in that position, you know, would have been just a little more planning on the part of the people whose jobs it is to plan a city like Lagos. Because before I moved to Lagos, you hear all the time that, oh, the island ended at Lekki Phase 1, ended at Marwa, that there wasn't a lot of all these places that currently exist now that people call the island. It was all bush. It was all like land, you know? So I hear that and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is, or that was, what that presented was a chance to plan a beautiful city. So get the roads right, get the water right, get electricity right, get waste management right, get drainages right. All of the things we're complaining about today, when there was nothing there, when it was just bush and land and water, that was when any leader with vision, with foresight, who knew what they were doing, not the ones that we celebrate for doing half-assed jobs, I mean the ones who actually know what they're doing, the ones who want to give you a good life, they would have planned the island much better than it is today. Because it makes absolutely zero sense that it's just one road from Third Mainland Bridge all the way to Ekpe, just one, like the one. Sure, you can say, oh, well, there are alternative routes, but how good are those alternative routes? How many cars can those alternative routes take? How motorable are the roads? Like, it's ridiculous, the amount of traffic. And then you've had successive administration after administration in Lagos talk about, oh, traffic is one of the things I want to fix with my administration. Well, how is that going? What, you know, aside from lip service, what exactly are you doing to fix the traffic situation? Now, that's on the government side. Now, on the people's side, like, why are you buying fuel and you're parking on the main road? Like, why? Why not get off the road? Why? Because we're not children. It's not children who are on the roads. It's adults who would see younger people being disorderly and say, oh, you're being disorderly, arrange yourself, pack well, you know, something like that. But once people are on the road in Lagos, it's almost like they're not human beings anymore. It was ridiculous. I was so annoyed yesterday. And then I was seeing billboard after billboard of people who are vying for political office. And I'm like, based on what? Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I have a great show for you. Let's start with the big three. Let's talk about fuel scarcity again. Then let's talk about Serap suing INEC to extend voter registration. And then let's talk about Supreme Court justices criticizing the CJN. Today is Tuesday, so Chukwu Diezugwu will bring you a community report. On the big hard fact, let's talk about the PTOB wave. Let's talk about Orubebe quitting the PDP. And all this talk about placeholders and alliances. All of that coming up 5 o'clock. After the news at 6, let's take a look at Father's Day and the kinds of relationships that fathers have with their children. I want to talk to the dads. If you're a dad listening to me, make it a date with me. 6:15, you and I, let's talk about fatherhood. As usual, we'll have news updates at the top of every hour, but let's get started with today's big three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili Lagos. These are your hard facts.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Will the pump price of fuel go up? When should voter registration stop? And why are Supreme Court justices upset? Those are the big three, Lagos. Let's talk. Our first story is the fuel scarcity. Petroleum marketers say that the 165 naira pump price no longer makes sense because they are operating at a loss. We heard from Akin Rinade, the IPMAN chairman for Lagos Satellite Depot, and he described a perfect storm of problems that have led to this fresh scarcity that you're experiencing. Some of you are probably in traffic right now, or you are at filling stations listening to me on the radio. If you are, well, bele do. So you have IPMAN saying that first of all is the Russian invasion of Ukraine, right? The war has raised petrol prices globally. It's not just Nigeria experiencing this situation, right? So the war raised petrol prices globally, the same way it raised diesel prices. So now the landing cost of PMS has gone up. Usually, this should not affect the pump price because of subsidy. Under subsidy, the NNPC is supposed to pay the difference between the pump price and what the market price should be. And that's why before now, all the marketers were buying direct from NNPC through the PPMC depots. But according to Mr. Aking, the PPMC depot has stopped supplying Lagos. That's even though marketers in Lagos have already paid NNPC for product that they've not yet received. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "Our members are registered to load with PPMC, but since December last year, not a litter has been lifted at the NNPC satellite depots in Ejigbo. We have tickets that have been paid for, amounting to over 1 billion naira as far back as October last year. And as we speak, these tickets have not been loaded, meaning that PPMC is holding on to our money. These are funds we're supposed to use to run our businesses. We are businessmen. We take bank loans. And now we're paying for money that we are not using," end quote. Now, why have NNPC and PPMC not supplied the marketers after taking their money? It's strange because President Buhari and the National Assembly extended fuel subsidy until next May. In violation, by the way, of the Petroleum Industry Act. So is this a situation where subsidy was approved but money was not released? Is the NNPC having problems sourcing petrol? What's the issue here? Because without the supply from NNPC, the marketers have been going to private depots, and those private depots are not receiving subsidies. So they've raised their prices along with global rates. The ex-depot price is now 162 naira instead of 145 naira. And Mr. Aking explained that this is a problem because, their members can no longer sell at 165. Here's what he said, quote, "Our members can no longer sell at 165. In fact, there's no reasonable businessman in this business that can sell below 180 naira per liter. For you to load a litre of petrol, you will pay 162 naira per litre. You'll have to add the cost of transportation, which is between 6 to 8 naira, depending on the distance within Lagos. If it is outside Lagos, it is much more than that. If you add 8 naira to 162, you already have 170, and this product is regulated by the government, and the government wants to sell at 165 naira. We've not added the charges at the depots and the running costs at our stations. And then he added that the cost of diesel amid the country's epileptic electricity supply situation also affected the running costs for members of IPMAN. Now, diesel at the moment, I was seeing in traffic yesterday at petrol stations, 780 naira, some places 800 naira per litre. He went on to say that there's no station in Lagos anywhere that uses less than 50 litres per day. So their cost of operation has gone up, and therefore it doesn't make sense for them to keep selling at 165. So that's the situation. IPMAN is saying that it's simple math. If it costs more than 165 naira per litre to deliver petrol to your station, and for your station to run its generators to pump the fuel for you, the pump price must be higher than 165. You've been talking about this all day, so let's talk about it some more. What's the way forward? What do you think? NNPC either has to start supplying to the marketers, or the marketers are going to increase the pump price. That's it. I've painted the picture for you. What do you think the solution should be? What do you think it could be? And tell me, of course, how the scarcity has affected you. Are you in traffic at the moment? Are you trying to buy fuel at the moment? Have you bought fuel at the moment? And away from even fuel, how are you surviving? Like, I'm grateful that, like, a lot of you still have money to call us on Nigeria Info and talk, because things are hard. Things are so difficult. Like, purchasing power has reduced so much. If you used to earn 150,000 before, or, you know, if you earn 150,000 right now, it's buying so much less than what you were able to buy, say, even 2 years ago. Things are so expensive now. How are you doing it? I know families who are not eating 3 square meals anymore. They just eat morning and night, or they eat morning and afternoon. How are you doing it? Like, things are so hard. Things are so difficult. And it's made even worse that we're a nation that runs on generators and well, generators. So if we had electricity, which is why it does my head in when people call and say other countries, their own fuel is also high and their own diesel prices are also skyrocketing. That may be well and good, but they have light. You know, they're not depending on generator for their businesses. They're not depending on generator for their, living in their houses, keeping things frozen in their fridges so that it doesn't go bad. Enjoying AC in your house if you can afford it, or fan if you can't afford AC. You need generator to run that in Nigeria because the power situation is non-existent. But spending the money on increasing fuel prices, increasing diesel prices, that's also taking away money that you don't have from, like, food or school fees or just surviving day to day. Food, most importantly. Like, that's what I spend the most on personally. I spend the most on food and fuel because I don't have light. And I'm spoiled, so I have to have 24 hours light. That means I'm running my generator 24 hours. So my most expensive items, the things I spend the most on, food and fuel for my gen. Not even for my car, because I fuel my car once a week, because I just go to work and go home. It's ridiculous. What are you doing? How are you surviving? Like, what tips and tricks do you have? Like, teach us, help us, talk to us. Help, you know, how are you surviving? Things are so expensive. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon, my dear.
Good afternoon.
This is Chukwuemeka calling.
Welcome, Chukwuemeka. What do you think the solution should be here with this fuel problem?
Solution?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any solution in this country now?
Well, it's either NNPC starts supplying fuel or marketers will increase their pump price. Do you think they should?
No, I'm not just saying any solution there. This Buhari government, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, my own problem, where I'm just, I don't know what to say. The problem I have with this government is that if, yes, they failed the people, what are they saying? You know, there's one time like that, I remember Jonathan government, when he realized that a lot of people have been complaining, there was a time he said that we have failed the people and we can still get it right. But this very government, they never agree that they have failed for one thing. I'm even surprised that I'm not hearing the voice of Lai Mohammed again. Maybe he doesn't know the lie to tell us again. Sandra, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening to you. But thank you so much for calling. Let's talk to Joy. Hi, Joy.
Sandra, I miss you so much. Welcome back.
I missed you too. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so for me, the solution is the subsidy should continue.
Subsidy should continue. Okay.
Yes.
Well, at least it should continue until July.
Let's just continue till, I don't know, till whenever our refineries are working. Huh. Because when they came here, this government, they said, when it was increased to 145, they said the money they've been paying for, subsidy, I mean, yeah, they needed to repair the refineries and also build more. Now, we don't even see any new one, neither have they repaired the old ones. So if they take off the subsidy now, the prices of goods will skyrocket. Kerosene and diesel that the subsidy has taken off from, and they said it will be cheaper at that time. Now look at how the price of buying that now. So what made you think if they take out subsidy from fuel, that it's also going to go to 1,000 because we are not refining, they are still imported. I'm not in that school of thought that says, oh, because of Russian war, because of that. That is not my business. They're supposed to have done all this before now. If they have fixed our refineries, will not be important. At least the few dollars we have, we can use it to, you know, do other two things, and we'll find our things here, and we'll use locally. But no, they have refused to do the right thing. Nigerians are suffering, Sandra. People are calling you every day, family members, give me, pull me this, dash me this, my child is in the hospital, this and that. And you yourself, you are even still managing yourself. Mm. And you don't blame them, because things are really biting harder every day. So I don't know what anybody wants to tell me what bank is saying a subsidy. They shouldn't remove that subsidy. They should not.
Okay, Joy. We've got Christopher on the line. Hi, Christopher.
Bye, Presido.
Good to have you on the show.
You are asking how are we surviving.
How are you doing it?
My sister, a gallon of kerosene, 3,600. Hello, President Sandra.
I'm here. I'm listening.
So I'm monitoring my daughter whenever she's cooking. The moment, the other day, was boiling water.
Mm.
Mommy, come, the water don't boil. Don't waste. Don't waste kerosene.
Man.
She was cooking. I said, Mommy, this you've never done. He said, Daddy, remains more. I said, put and die. Don't do it. It's not easy, I'm telling you.
Thank
God.
Now, wow.
Look, Sandra, solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm speaking with you, there is a place called Kwale in Ndokwa West in Delta State. There's a refinery, functioning one.
Okay.
NNPC refused to supply them crude. They mentioned it in your news now, your radio, about 2 months of the last month.
Okay.
How come they deny those people of crude? At least if those ones are refining, it will serve that surrounding area, right?
Okay.
Even up to Anambra, Imo, Bayelsa, they will get from that place.
Okay.
But they refused to supply them crude. Now they want to remove subsidy. Where is Temipre, the last minister of this thing?
All right, let's leave it at that. Thank you very much for calling. Olalekan says, how we survive is by God's grace, Sandra. We have to eat twice daily and stay back at work area before going home at the weekend. That's how we survive the economy. My God, Olalekan, I am sorry you're experiencing that. Kayade says, Sandra, I almost followed my son to the place where he bought a pack of spaghetti for 400 naira. Cost of living is just too much. Joel says, they know we're good in readjusting as Nigerians. Until we change in totality lucky, the managers and management of the country, we're going to keep running round the circle. All right. Thank you very much, Joel Otuakong, for that message. We will take a look at more messages. Here's this one from Agbonifo, who says, it's a shame on the government to regulate and control oil industry. I'm not sure I understand what you're trying to say, so take a look at it and let me know. We've got this one that says, Sandra, please let the subsidy continue at least until the end of this regime. Going to the market today, everything's expensive, out of reach. The other day, I bought 12 kg of cooking gas at 11,000 naira. Well, President Buhari has said that subsidy will stay. Subsidy will end in June after he has left office. That's what he has said. That contravenes, by the way, the Petroleum Industry Act, but that's a conversation for a different day. We've got a message here from RN who says, that's not your name, sorry. But he says, Sandra, how are we surviving? Funny enough, I lost my job in May because the HR said the company is running at a loss, so I was sacked. Now I'm jobless, everything is hard, but to God's grace, I'm eating 3 square meals. Now I'm trying to get a job just to pay my fees. I haven't started feeling the hardship since on Saturday we have light, but by God's grace we will open. Alright, my God, thank you so much for sending your message. You didn't leave your name, but I'm really sorry you lost your job, and fingers crossed you get an even better one. Alright, we'll take a break. When we come back, let's talk about INEC and voter registration and SERAP. SERAP does not want INEC to end voter registration. That's our second story. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media, Sandra Ezekwesili everywhere. Let's connect there, shall we? But don't go away. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. You're listening to Hard Facts. We start the day with three of the biggest stories, and there's no bigger story than the cost and hardship of getting fuel.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Serap doesn't want INEC to end voter registration. That's our second story. They've taken the matter to the Federal High Court in Abuja. In their lawsuit, Serap wants the court to force INEC to extend voter registration by at least 3 months. Registration ends June 30th. So if Serap gets their way, it will extend to right before Independence Day, which is 4 months before the general election. The lawsuit says that the current deadline is unjust and violates the constitution because it risks robbing millions of Nigerians of their right to vote. Now, you have supporters of the deadline who blame the public. They say that people should have gone to register to vote since. Why did they wait? Remember, I've been telling people about CVR. I've been saying it. How many years now I've been talking it on this air? So some people are saying, well, why didn't you go sings? Now, Serap says, even though. In their suit, Serap says that INEC shifted the deadline for parties to hold their primaries when the parties said that they were not ready. So if INEC can adjust deadline for political parties, why can't they adjust deadline for voters? Let me read what the suit says. It says, quote, enforcing unrealistic voter registration deadline while extending the deadline for party primaries would deny and abridge the constitutional and international human rights of eligible voters. INEC mandates ought to be exercised in a fair, just, and non-discriminatory manner. The extension of voter registration would ensure that Nigerian voters are also critical stakeholders in the electoral process. Treating all eligible Nigerian voters fairly would advance the people's right to vote and to participate in their own government. INEC must not only be independent and impartial in the exercise of its constitutional and statutory responsibilities, but must also be seen to be independent and impartial, end quote. Do you agree with that argument? Now, clearly there's been a sharp increase in voter registration in the past few weeks. Millions of Nigerians are suddenly interested in registering, which they were not interested in doing just 2 months ago. And my question is, why? What has made Nigerians suddenly so interested in voters? Supporters of Peter Obi say that he is the reason. They point to various scenes at registration centres where the people queuing up to vote are chanting Peter Obi or for Labour Party. Now, I've been on leave, so I've had lots of time to observe things. And it does seem to me, it looks to me, that we started seeing the uptick in voter registration after Obi defected to the Labour Party and won their presidential ticket. Is there a connection, do you think? Also, if you notice, Labour Party is the only major party that has gone on the record to ask INEC to extend voter registration. In fact, supporters of APC and PDP online have been the loudest voices saying that people should have come to register earlier instead of crying for the deadline to be moved. So we have to ask, do the politicians see this new wave of voter registration as favouring Obi and Labour more than APC and PDP? But back to INEC and SERAP. The High Court granted SERAP's request for a temporary order stopping INEC from stopping registration until the case is heard. Like I said, registration was supposed to end June 30th. The next hearing date is the 29th of June, one day before it's supposed to end. So it's going to be interesting to see whether on that day the court rules on the case or whether the registration will continue into July. But either way, I'll be looking at that story and we'll be covering it right here for you on your number one talk station, Nigeria Info. But hey, Lagos, talk to me. If INEC extended deadlines for parties to hold primaries and if INEC is letting parties submit placeholder nominees, should INEC not also extend registration for voters? Which party do you think benefits the most from this new wave of voter registrations? Is this advantage OB or what do you think? 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. You can also, of course, reach out to us on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's your name, ma'am?
It's Joy.
Hi, Joy. Welcome. Go ahead.
I think so. It's because of Obi.
Okay.
Because we are discussing in the church this week, yeah.
Okay.
People that have never voted in their life before, they want to vote now. So I think it's because of Obi.
Oh.
Then the other two major parties, the thing is like a threat to them. They have enough. So this one now, new registration is a threat to them. That's what I think.
Okay. Joy thinks it's advantage, Obi. We've got Omotayo on the line. I wonder whether he agrees. Hi, Omotayo.
Yeah, Sandra. Well done.
Thank you.
Can I still react to the previous...
Yes, please.
Okay, I seem to have an idea on how to end this whole thing.
Okay.
This whole scarcity of the thing.
Okay.
First of all, we have to agree that there is no, there's not going to be an instant solution. And this period of time is the best time we can get these politicians to listen to us.
Okay.
This is our most vulnerable time.
Okay.
After this period of time, it's going to be till another 4 years.
Okay.
And then there is this understanding that one of the reasons these guys are getting away with this whole thing is because there is no system in place that's checkmating every decision they are making.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than trying, how about we just halt this election of a thing and demand for a restructuring? Instead, let there be a massive protest for restructuring. Okay, no restructuring, no election. Because you bring in an NGO to operate under the same constitution, it's still going to be a problem in the future. And this is the only time these guys can listen to us. So that is what I feel that's the best way. That's the best decision.
Okay. All right, Omotayo, thank you for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Genevieve. It's good to hear your voice again.
Hi, Genevieve. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, so quickly to the topic on ground. The reason people are clamoring for their PVC, in my own opinion, is because of Peter Obi. Take, for instance, myself. I had no plan of voting. It was going to be just PDP and APC. I was not going to be near the polling unit at all.
Okay.
But the minute Peter Obi moved to Labour Party, I had to go and transfer my voter's card from my previous location.
Okay.
So, and I know so many people like that too. Mm. So we are ready to vote. It's because of Peter Obi. The hope. The hope we've been waiting for. And the other parties that are saying them wanting to do this clear because they're scared. You know that there's a new movement bigger than them.
Okay.
So there's nothing you can do that can stop it. Thank you.
Genevieve, thank you very much. By the way, Genevieve reminds me, I beg to differ, auditions have begun. So if you have a child who's between 12 to 16, if you have a child between 12 to 16, have them go to our website and upload an audition. 2 minutes debating for the topics we have on our website, 2 minutes debating against the topics we have on our website. So go right now, tell someone to tell someone else. The auditions for I Beg to Differ happening right now. And it's open to all secondary school students in Lagos. All secondary school students, whether private school low, public school low, we're not selecting, we're not being special. It's always open to all secondary school students, not their schools. We're rewarding the individual students. So 12 to 16, and it's by force 12 to 16. If the person is 11, they're not going to be selected. If the person is 16, if the person is 17, they're not going to be selected. 12 to 16. We've got topics that they can choose from on our website. They should record the audition and upload it on our website. And in August, they'll be here debating for a chance to win 1 million naira. The auditions are on right now, and the auditions will end on the 12th of July. So you better start making hay while the sun shines. We've got Malik on the line. Hi, Malik.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you on the show.
Special advisor on Juju matters.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, Sandra.
We need to find Juju that will end this first scarcity.
What is it? I want to tell you now.
Okay.
First of all, let me start with the PVC. Before election will start.
PVC don't be Juju now.
No, calm down, Sandra. Just calm down.
Okay.
Before election will start, schools will resume to make a certain party that is making the youth to go and get PVC not to vote.
Okay.
Then, for the first time you are talking about, Sandra, even though you give them any solution today, just because of selfish interest and the same sabotage in the same government, it will not work, Sandra. Selfish interest, greed, sabotage, it will not work. They know what to do. You send militants to go to learn how to do the product or refining the product. They came back to the country. Where are they? You just left them like that. Was that part of the solution? You don't have enough diesel. Go to the refinery in the...
Oh, I don't know what happened there, but Malik, call me back if you can. Let's take a look at messages we have here. Sandra, I've missed you so much. Aww, thank you. I've been job hunting for years now. I'm a graduate of petroleum engineering, and now my rent is due. Landlord says I should plan to vacate her house if I cannot renew. How do I start? Who do I have? Where do I run to? Life is difficult, Sandra, but I'm confident that God will see us through. God bless and keep all of us. Hilary Solomon with that message there. We've got Kevin Hu, who says people turn 18 every day, so I don't see the reason why INEC should stop voters registration. We've got more messages here. Ade says Obi is a boy. I don't know what that means. Obino from Shomolu says, Sandra, it's very shameful that the Minister of Petroleum is the president and he has said nothing about the scarcity of petrol. Nigerians should bear the consequences of removing Jonathan. All right. We've got more people here. Sandra, the hardship is everywhere, but our bad leaders make it worse. There have been inflation here in the UK, but the government is there to give palliatives and subsidize almost everything for the citizens. So sad that the reverse is the case in Nigeria.
palliative. Someone was gisting me yesterday that Nigerians forget so much. That Nigerians have forgotten that during COVID, when everybody was suffering and locked down in their houses and palliatives by private citizens were donated, politicians locked these palliatives away in their warehouses. That Nigerians have forgotten that thing. Now, everybody's campaigning for their own candidates, but you've forgotten that in some states, including here in Lagos, you had different warehouses that had all of these palliatives stocked and, you know, going bad even in different stores. Some of these palliative items may have been brought out in 2023 and put into small sachets and distributed as part of stomach infrastructure. It's not far-fetched when you think about the fact that a sitting House of Assembly member who did not get a ticket to go back to the House of Assembly, by the way, repackaged the palliatives to give away as souvenirs for her birthday. You know? And I'm like, wow, people have actually forgotten that thing. Because these are, you know, things like that are election issues. Things like that should matter when you're deciding who you're going to vote for. You should remember things like that. You really should. Person will not give you palliative, make you chop during lockdown. How we go do when you give them power for 4 years? 0700-993-993-993. We've got Frank on the line. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, Sandra, Russia broke out from USSR in 1991 and they told themselves that, look, for us to compete and move forward as a nation, we need power. That was 1991. In 1994, the whole of Russia, that is the biggest country in the world, was electrified. In 2022, we don't have electricity. The topic I want to talk about here is the fuel scarcity. If there was electricity, it will help ameliorate the pain and the pressure on fuel. A lot of people are buying fuel for their cars and also buying for their generators. Look, all I just want to say is, I think we are part of this problem. I think we are docile. The APC government is contesting this period. I don't know what they'll be telling the people, like, what have we done? They are the ones in power. The electricity is not there. The fuel is scarce, and yet they are contesting. Sandra, if you like, make a moon or do. Have a nice day.
All right, thanks for calling. The APC can point to a number of projects that they have worked on. They can point to a number of things that they can campaign on. I'm sure their supporters are listening and they'll give us a call and talk to us about those things. But this is not a campaign conversation. We are talking specifically about fuel scarcity, number one. Number two, we're talking about extending voter registration. But let me come back to the phone lines and talk to more of you. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
This is Victor calling.
Welcome, Victor.
From Ogun State.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
Whether they want to extend the voters registration stuff or they don't want to do it, if Nigeria can put their mind together and choose one person that is capable to rule this country, let us forget about tribal sentiments. But I love what the other man sent to you. I love it. He said that we easily forget how we suffer in the past. If we can remember how we used to suffer, when a nation like this reaches, at least we'll bring that suffering to our front. Then we'll know what to do. But tomorrow night, if election come, they will forget everything. You give them one bag of rice or even two congo of rice, they will forget everything. They will say their vote. It's not good. Whether they close it or they not close it, if we put our mind together and say this person is going to rule us, then we can get it right.
All right. Thanks for calling. Abe on WhatsApp says, Sandra, the issue is not Serap taking INEC to court. The constitution approves 60 days to election before voters' registration can stop. Madam Obey on Newsroom opened our eyes in this last week, Monday. All right, then. We've got John from Yaba who says, INEC should not extend the registration. The registration started a year ago. Even your station was always shouting it at every news bulletin. But they were supposed to register. When they were supposed to register, they'll be complaining. When I transferred my PVC in January, it was walk-in, walk-out at INEC office. Nigerians with their lackadaisical attitude. All right, John from Yaba. We've got Green who says, the breakdown of NNPP and B2B's merger is not going to be easy. Well, we're not talking about that merger just yet. But no, don't worry. 5 p.m. We'll talk about that. We've got a lot of messages from you. Chris? All right, that's Chris. Yes, Chris says, you're absolutely right when you spoke about other essentials, even if fuel is high. I've been in Ghana since October. Fuel has moved from 740 to 1,050 this week. However, electricity is 24 hours, 30 minutes every day. Roads are smooth, traffic predictable, public transport better and safer than using your private car. Today, I made a 33-kilometer trip to the hospital, Nigeria Embassy, and back home for less than 5K. I buy electricity 2K worth since last Saturday, and it will last till this Saturday at the least. See why I stay and work from home here. Let's get every other essentials in Nigeria to work better and fuel feet climb to 1,000. No one will even really bother. Chris from Ghana with that message there. Chris, thank you very much for your message. Meg is on the line. Hi, Meg.
Sandra, mama, are you back?
I'm back, girl. How are you?
Welcome back, the fairest of them all. You're only permitted to go and start your own radio station.
Oh, no, please, no.
Don't leave Nigeria Info, except you are going to start your own radio station.
I'm not
station.
Going anywhere. No transfer.
Welcome back,
thank you.
Okay, we are really suffering now. I want to talk about the foil situation. I've been waiting in front of my last child's school since the last 3 hours. Reason being, I didn't want to drive home and drive back to his school. It's quite a distance from my house. Not such a distance, but I would save some fuel.
Some
it's
fuel,
tough
yeah.
for
it
everybody.
It is.
It's really tough. Mm-hmm. It's really, really tough. I bought diesel sometime last week, 50 liters, for close to 50,000 naira for 2 liters of diesel. I don't know where we are headed. And like somebody rightly said, we're people that forget. We're people that are docile. They've done so much to us. You know, just like you bring things to remembrance of the good things God has done for you, I think we should bring to remembrance the bad things these politicians have done to us. And when they are coming to campaign, we begin to compare the worst of them and begin to drop them like they've been dealing with us. It's really sad. I don't know how people are coping. If I'm struggling like this, I don't know what people... Every day you are undated with messages for people, send me 10,000, send me 20,000. My daughter is doing this. My son is sick. It's tough. I don't know how we got here. And I don't know how we'll get out of this mess. Because if we are not remembering, look at the election in Ekiti now. The ruling party still took the day. Like somebody said, we don't remember. We are so forgetful. But I pray in 2023. That God will give us the spirit to remember the pains we have gone through all these years and give us the courage and the audacity to say no to their money. Even if you want to take their money and don't vote them in. That's it.
Meg, thanks for calling. Our third story is something that has never happened in the history of independent Nigeria. The justices of the Supreme Court have written a protest letter to the Chief Justice of Nigeria. Did you hear that story? The JSCs, according to their letter, are upset over Tanko Muhammad's allegedly poor handling of welfare and running of the court. Here are some of the grievances the justices put in the letter. Lack of accommodation for the newest justices since 2020. Lack of legal assistance, even though their workload is increasing. Lack of drugs and supplies at the Supreme Court clinic. Lack of electricity, apparently because there's not enough diesel, they only have power in the court between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. No travel for training. In fact, justices are accusing the CJN of going on official trips with his family while they are denied opportunities to go abroad for training. Also, they claim that when they have gone abroad, they were not allowed to take their assistants.
Now, if you're like me, you're probably wondering what courses are justices going to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court justices going abroad to do? Is it expected? Because I've never heard a U.S. Supreme Court justice like, say, John Roberts, for instance, or Clarence Thomas, or the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg going abroad for training. But our Supreme Court, you know, does have a training budget, and the justices wrote that, let me read what they wrote. They wrote, quote, "We demand to know what has become of our training funds. Have they been diverted, or is it a plain denial?" End quote. Lawyers will have to school me here, really. Now, you should understand that the Chief Justice of Nigeria is also the administrative head of the Supreme Court. So all these issues are his responsibility. The justices are saying that he has allegedly failed to pay attention to them. They even claim in their letter that when all these issues were catalogued and brought to his attention again in March, he did not respond. That's what forced them to write this letter. The first of its kind in the court's history of 58 years. Now, it sounds like Nigeria is happening to the Supreme Court. They seem to be facing the same problems plaguing the country. Lack of electricity, high diesel prices, you know. But the justices are saying that the federal budget makes provisions for these things for them. So they're blaming the CJN's alleged mismanagement for these current shortages. But I want to know what you think about this matter, especially since the Chief Justice has responded. Tanko Muhammad, he released a statement responding to the letter. He acknowledges receiving the letter. He says he has now met with the justices to discuss their grievances. He also says that a lot of the issues being discussed were caused by the general economic problems in the country. He says the court is trying to resolve the issues, but that the court is also constrained by its budget. So for this particular story, I want lawyers to school me. What do lawyers think about this back and forth between the CJN and his fellow Supreme Court justices? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. But I'll take your calls when we come back from this break. You're listening to The Big Three on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. Don't go away.